In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Amshir, and the reading of this Sunday comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. And this chapter, or this passage, is when the Lord was walking with his disciples, and many of the multitude followed him after he fed them with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And the Lord confronted them by saying, "You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." So the Lord here is confronting the multitude in order for them to be able to examine their motives. They were following him. They look like they are seeking the kingdom of God and seeking the Lord Christ to learn from him. But the Lord, who knew the intention of the heart, he told them, "You are not following me because of whom I am or what you want to learn from me, but actually because you ate and you were filled, and you are seeking again to be given this kind of blessing or food over and over again." So the Lord is not confronting them alone, but actually he is encouraging all of us to examine our motives, why we do what we do. Why it is important that we not only examine our hearts for what we do, but actually to see what are the intentions behind them. The first reason is that many follow the Lord Christ for a wrong motive. They look like a lot of people are admiring him, following him, seeking to hear from him, but actually, when we examine the life of the Lord and the story of him being here on us, with us on earth, we find that some followed to see a sign. He is a miracle doer, and we are interested to see a miracle from him. Even Herod the king, at the time of the Lord's trial, he wanted to see him in order for him to be able to see a sign. "I want to see a miracle." And that's why the Lord said and rebuked them, "No sign is going to be given to you except the sign of Jonah the prophet." Jonah did not perform any miracle before the people. They believed him because of what he said, not because of any kind of something that's supernatural. St. John the Baptist, who were able to convert many, also did not make any sign, did not do any miracle, and the people believed him. Many follow the Lord seeking a sign, a miracle. This is what actually is getting us interested in you, that you are a miracle doer. Some followed him because of what he gave them in terms of the food and this kind of materialistic blessing. He fed us. We want him to be a king, as we heard yesterday, the Gospel of the Vespers. They wanted to make him a king. Why? Because he provides. He gives food to the people who are following him. Another motive that's very common: when we seek the Lord for what we are expecting from him in terms of the materialistic blessings, he gives us food. That's why we want to please, satisfy him, at least avoid his wrath and anger, because if we don't please him, he will not give us the day-to-day food. Those who welcomed the Lord on Palm Sunday, they did not favor him as a person for his meekness or his teaching, but they thought of him as a king. That's why they were very excited about him. The scene on Palm Sunday looks like those people are all converting into like the new way. They are believing in what he came to preach, and really they are going to change from inward outwardly. But this was not the case. The evidence was manifest on Great Friday when they all denounced him. They all went back from him. Why? Because he disappointed them. We wanted him as a king. That's why we welcomed you. You are representing yourself as a meek person. This is something we do not like. We have to examine our motives and our intentions, because many might be following the Lord for a wrong motive. We also have to examine our motives behind what we do, because serving for a wrong motive might hinder us from seeing his love toward us. The good example for this is the older son in the parable of the prodigal son. The older son, he was the one in the house, the one who served at all times, the one who stayed, he did not leave his father. At the same time, this one did not like his dad. When his brother came back and his father welcomed him and gave him back his position in the house, the older son was upset. And he told his father, "Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. So you are not serving because of your love towards your father. You are serving because you are waiting for a reward, a wage." He looks like a faithful son, but deep inside, he was a grumbling servant. If we serve the Lord for the wrong motive, we are expecting a reward, not because we are indebted, but because we think that he will be indebted to us. We will never be able to taste his love or see it or feel it. I will always feel like I am not rewarded according to what I really deserve. God is not maybe fair to me. This is serving in order for us to make something like count points against him, not because we are indebted and we feel that he loved us so much to the point that we have then to reward and pay back for his love. He was serving in the house, but for a wrong motive, waiting for a reward as a servant, not feeling the love of his dad. It is important for us to examine our motives also, because we might be worshiping him for a wrong motive, and this will not benefit us. At the beginning of the Great Fast, the reading usually of the Sunday before the fast is about how when we are about to fast or pray or tithe or give, we have to be very careful. Why are we doing this? The Lord says in the Gospel of St. Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." He is warning the people while they are about to give, to pray, to fast, that they will be doing this for the right motive. It is not enough that I pray or I give or I fast. I have to make sure that I am offering this to him. I am not worshiping in order to be seen by others. I am not here in the church because I want to satisfy someone whom I want him to see me praying or fasting. Worshiping for a wrong motive might make all of this effort futile, with no reward. As the people of Israel asked God in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, "Why did we fast and we work hard and we trouble ourselves and you did not see? You did not reward us. Why, O Lord, you didn't look upon our affliction when we fasted?" And the Lord said that what you are fasting is something you do it for yourself. You do not do it for me. It's important for us to examine our motives also, because good deeds for a wrong motive will not help us to complete the journey to the end. Many people are able to start, are willing to start, but very few, they complete the course to the end. What is the difference between these two groups of people? The motives. Why did I start serving? Why did I come to the church? Many people who followed the Lord did not continue with him to the end. They were discouraged along the way because they were disappointed. What they expected from him was not met. If I start a relationship with God for a wrong motive because I'm expecting something from him in return, unfortunately, this will make me to fail along the way. I will not be able to continue my struggle and strive to the end. Another example of how people sometimes they say things that's godly, but behind it something that's not according to God's will, is when we see some husbands, they tell their wives to submit. Something that's very common that people remember, especially among men, they remember the passages that St. Paul says and instructs the women to submit to their husbands. And they always bring it to their remembrance. It looks like they are reminding them with the scripture. It sounds like something that's good when the husband is bringing to the attention of his wife a passage from the Bible. But am I doing this in order for my wife to be sanctified, to live according to the commandment, the whole house to follow God? Or am I bringing this because I want to exercise control over her? This is the only passage I bring from the Bible. This is the only thing I remember. Nothing else at any time would be said. Here, it looks like good deed. I'm reminding my wife with the commandment, but the intention behind it has nothing to do with God or her being conformed to the image of Christ. We have also to examine our motives, because good deeds might mislead us. Motives tell us the truth about ourselves. The Lord will say to some who will approach him in the last day and will say to him, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." In their minds, they were practicing something good and holy. They were preaching. They were telling everyone about the Lord Christ, casting out demons. But their motives were not according to God's will. That's why he says to them, "I never knew you." Many of the struggles, either in our household or in our churches, we sometimes cast the name of being zealous. We want things to be right and straight, and we do it right. But at the end of the day, it's something that's very personal, something that's from the heart. I only know if I examine myself that it is not for the glory of God. I'm not preaching in order for Christ to be known, but for a different reason. I'm not serving because of him. I'm serving because of something related to my ego. I am not zealous for his name and his church, but actually because there is something inside me. I am moved and triggered with unholy motive. The deeds can deceive. The motives are always the right mirror for us to know why we are doing what we are doing. Then we come to another question. Is it always wrong to do the right deed for the wrong motive? Actually, the answer will be definitely no. In which circumstances? At the beginning, when we start learning, sometimes we are motivated with wrong motives. Like when we say that for our children, if you be consistent in your prayers, I will reward you with something materialistic. I will give you something. They might be praying in order to please us, in order to receive this reward. But this is acceptable, because this is the beginning of every learning process. Another occasion, and when we pray because we feel good after we pray, our motive is, at the end of the day, I will feel good. Even this is acceptable, and this is something that we can start with in our learning process. We might come to the church because we are motivated with the activity or with the social gathering. This is okay. This is fine. Yes, the real purpose, we have to turn from this one day into the real purpose, that I come here for God and God alone. I do all of these in order to please God, but it is okay that we start with this. Sometimes it's important just to read and study for a competition, for a contest, like what we do during the summer. Yes, the prize should not be the reward, but at the end of the day, this can be a good beginning, a good start. It becomes a problem when it becomes, this is the focus. This is what I live all of my life motivated with. I would receive something, but I cannot grow out of it. It's exactly like starting as a child, and then I continue all of my course in my life here, always waiting for the materialistic reward, the thing that I can hold in hand, not in him. Is it always wrong to do the right deed for the wrong motive? No. It is wrong to continue like this forever, if we always wait for the prize or for the reward. The Lord, when he confronted the people, I am sure that this offended many. I am sure that this made the people to think, isn't he happy that we are following? Isn't it enough that we are coming after you? The Lord says to them and to us, no, it is not enough. We have always to examine our motives, make sure that they are as holy as our deeds are. It's not enough that we do the right thing, we have to make sure that we are doing them for the right reason as well. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.